Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Why Was 2020 a Great Year?
God's grace and His mercy and His strength be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I thought it'd be a great day for us to look together at this question. Why was 2020 a great year? A good year, a blessed year, a great and a fantastic year for us Christians in the Lord. Now, that might sound like kind of a strange thing to say since 2020 had so much trouble in it. But I believe with the eyes of faith, we can see the wonderful workings of God in this year and return to Him great joy and thanks for 2020. So let's take a look. Why was 2020 a great, amazing, fantastic year for us in the Lord? Well, first, I just want to acknowledge that that's kind of a strange question, I'm sure, to our ears, because you think 2020, that was filled with all kinds of trouble. We had, if you think about it, started out the year with an impeachment, then we went to virus, then we went to shutdowns, closing of the economy, closing of schools, we had riots, burnings, lootings, thefts in certain American cities. We had all kinds of trouble. We've seen governors, I mean, we didn't even know these people before. A governor, we never heard of these people, basically, but now we know them by names. We know governors, mayors, justices, acting in very unjust ways, liberties being trampled upon for American citizens. We've seen the media, YouTube, Twitter, censoring anything not in accordance with their agenda. And on top of all these things this year, we also saw the church get greatly attacked. A pastor was arrested in the United States for simply holding a Palm Sunday service. Others were threatened for holding service for just 13 people. We've seen certain parts of the country where certain officials have basically outlawed the church, indoor church that is. Outside with you Christians into the cold. Worship there if you wish, but not inside the church. And so we've seen that even the governor of California, who Governor Newsom has said, and add to that no singing too. Bah, humbug, Heil Hitler. So, it's true. That's all right, don't worry about Facebook. So it's been a troublesome year, to be sure. And so you might ask, why would you ever say that this was a great year, even better than all the others? Well, I believe we have to look at this with the eyes of faith. Picture it this way. If you're a little worm and you're just kind of squishing and squirming your way through the dirt, all you see is dirt and in mud. And that's all you ever can see with the eyes of the flesh, if you will. But if you're an eagle and you fly up a little higher, you can look down from that higher perspective and see God is tilling and tending His garden to make the earth produce wondrous fruit. And if the eagle flies even higher to the upper airs of the mountains, he can look forth and see the majesty of the Lord working marvelous things in all the earth. In fact, there's a saying I heard once. Two men looked out through prison bars. One sees mud, another sees stars. Which one do you guys see? Mud or stars? Are you a worm? Are you an eagle? Fly up with the eyes of faith, you can see the marvelous workings of God in 2020. So let's do that now together, and we'll look and see what I see with the eyes of faith for this year. 2020, why was that a great year in the Lord? Number one, what is this? Preserves. God, through all this trouble, has preserved us marvelously down to the end of the year. Look, we're all here. We are all alive. God has kept us faithfully, and we've experienced his faithfulness through all these troubles. In fact, they've not even really touched us. Hardly. If we look over here at Psalm 138, listen to what we read in God's holy word. It says this, Psalm 138, verse 7 to 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou dost preserve my life. Thou dost stretch out thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Thy steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. I mean, think about this. We've faced, there's burnings, there's viruses, there's trouble here and there, but really, none of that has ultimately touched you. Maybe if you got sick, you got healthy again. A lot of people didn't even get sick. They were saying, we'd have all these deaths everywhere. Actually, the number's gotten smaller and smaller, percentage, that would actually die from this. We've seen our city remain in law and order. You're well-fed, you're healthy, you're bright, you're full of courage. Very healthy, Kevin. And God has preserved us. It's God who's taking care of us. We're experiencing his faithfulness to us. You know, this is really, we're living in biblical days. If you think of the Old Testament days when Israel went through the wilderness, God preserved them. It's similar in our days. These words could be for us. It says here in Deuteronomy 8, God led you through the great and the terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you with manna in the wilderness, which your fathers didn't know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Your clothing did not wear out upon you. Your foot did not swell these 40 years. God has done that for you and preserved you down faithfully through this year. All these troubles, and yet the way has been made straight. You are indeed well preserved. This is a great year. Amen? Amen. You're strong and you're healthy and you're here. God be praised. Second thing God did for us this year that is great was this one. Idols. God destroyed, if you will, in large measure, the idols that were destroying us and our culture, and he smacked them down. That reminds me, actually, of 1 Samuel chapter 5, where remember when the Philistines snatched the Ark of the Covenant of God, and they brought it in, and they set it right next to their idol, Dagon. And they thought that'd be just a fine thing to do. But the Philistines, they took the Ark of God, brought it to the house of Dagon, set it up beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen flat down on his face, fallen downward on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And so they thought, oh, probably a freak wind blew him over, even though he's a huge idol. Right, so they put him back in his place. But when they rose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon was cut off, and both his hands were lying cut off upon the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Has God done the same thing in our days? We are living in biblical days, friends. God has smacked down the idols of our culture that's been destroying people's lives. What kinds of idols this year? Take, for example, sports. Now, I love sports, but not as they've become. They were getting worse by the year. If you think about it, the NBA, basketball, mostly you're watching felons play. Not all, but many. If you watch the NFL, you've seen how that's the glory of the flesh. And if you watch the halftime shows with the Super Bowl, I mean, years ago now, Janet Jackson baring her breasts to the world. You've seen Madonna, J-Lo, Beyonce. If you analyze those halftime shows, they were really satanic rituals. And how much longer is God going to put up with that? Those kinds of things were destroying our culture and threatening to destroy us, distracting us from the Lord. What did God do marvelously this year? Flying up high, looking down. He came and smacked that down. No more sports. Did away with them in order to do what? To get rid of that idol, to bring people back to himself, that we might, they might be saved and we might be made stronger in the Lord. Think about that. We also saw the destruction of another idol, namely Hollywood. Praise God for that. You know, I like movies. I like the old days when I could go to the movies and watch a bright movie that I didn't have moral questionings about. But in recent years, it's been getting darker and more sinister by the year. I go to the mall and I look at the posters, and it's like darkness, haunted, demonic, evils, murders, sorcery. And I'm just like, ah, it can't get any worse. I think God was thinking, yeah, it can't get any worse. Let's smack that one down too. I'm so happy Hollywood got basically bankrupted this year, because I'll just live with the movies I already got from the 30s and the 40s. I'm good with that. They're uplifting to me. I don't need any future stuff. But God, again, was saving people from things that were destroying them in a wonderful act of mercy to draw us back to himself. Turn to me, all the ends of the earth, says the Lord, and I will save you. So that's fantastic. How about this idol? That we were going too fast and going after the vanities of the world that profit nothing. You know, our world was so fast, but God smacked that down and said, be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. Come to me, O world. That's fantastic. And then how about this one? The idol of false churches, false Christianity. You know, before all this, things were getting out of hand. You have preachers with $27 million Learjets, jet-setting all around the world, preaching, but not preaching the truth or the gospel of Jesus Christ, but itching ears, accumulating false teachers, sign of the end times. And God said, I'm going to smack that one down too. What happened to a lot of these churches that were not grounded in the Lord this year? They've basically gone. They're not operating. They're not working. But what happened to the churches that believe in Jesus and are preaching the truth of the gospel? They are established. They're actually thriving this year. We've had a better year in a lot of ways than any year before. So God is doing wondrous things for us, friends, this year to get rid of things that were killing us and threatening us and to bring us gloriously back to himself. And he's calling the world. If only the world would answer with the words of Hosea, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn that he may heal us. He has stricken and he will bind us up. After 2 days he'll revive us, and on the third day he'll raise us up that we may live before him. So was 2020 great? Yep. It was fantastic. Great job, the Lord. How about this one? I'll be careful not to shine this right in your eyes, this flashlight here. God has exposed the evil this year, unlike any other year. What do we read in Ephesians chapter 4? Remember, it says no longer take any part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And God shined his light on a lot of evil that's been going on behind the scenes in our culture for decades. Haven't you seen that? This undercurrent over the decades has been creeping in, the spirit of Antichrist, leading people into all kinds of wrong things, but we couldn't exactly see who the enemy was. This year, the spotlight has shined, and frankly, evil ain't hiding itself anymore, is it? You know now who your enemies are. You look and you've seen, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the mass media, they're doing blackouts on the truth that you can see in other places, but you can see them for who they now really are. Even Fox News, that's why so many people have left it. You look at the globalists, you look at big tech, you look at, goodness, even the Democrats this year, not only abortion, but killing babies who were born alive outside of abortion. They voted for that this year. Oh, well, now we know who they are. And the Republicans, likewise, are not hardly any better. There's a few great ones, and many of them, we've seen them now for who they are. They're not working on the side of right and of good. We now know names like Bill Gates, George Soros, and such things, that they're not friendly, that they are not good guys, that they are contrary to Christ. And so that's actually a great thing, to have light shine on these things so we know who they are, so that we can stay safe and not be led astray like it would be more possible if we didn't see them. But also, God was this year, watch this, bringing the crab out of his shell, the bear out of his den, and the thief out of the shadows. And the good news and great news about that is when God does that, historically in Scripture, he's about to put an end to the evil. Look at Pharaoh. Remember that? He's a very bad guy. He was safe in his little castle there in Egypt, but God told the people of Israel, through Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and camp in front of Pi-Hahiroth. Remember when they come out of Israel to the Red Sea? They're heading up there, but God says, go back and camp here between Migdol and in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp over against it by the sea. Then Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I'll harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and over all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Notice he drew Pharaoh, exposed this evil guy out into the light, got the bear out of his den. Why? Because he was waiting to get rid of the evil. And Pharaoh was drowned in the sea, but the people of Israel, God had a way for them preserved through it alive. God's preserved a way for you, all the way into his kingdom alive. He brings out the evil because he's going to get rid of the evil. And that, again, is a great thing for us Christians. But we know evil's time is almost up. Greatness of God and his kingdom is coming. Amen? Yes. Another great thing. Here's another fantastic thing that I believe God's been doing for us, is that this year, in a sense, he's given us coffee. What I mean is he's wakened up the church, wakened up true Christians to be all the brighter. You know, we need to believe and be awake in our Lord Jesus Christ and alert until he comes, right? He says, but what I say to you, I say to all, watch, stay alert, be ready for my coming. But it's so easy to fall asleep. And it's been hard, you guys are awake, but it's always been hard to, Lord, how do I keep these people awake? How do I preach to them to get them going? Well, if you look at when Jesus was going to the cross and he's in the garden, remember, to be betrayed, the disciples fell asleep a couple times, didn't they? Sit here until I go and pray. Comes back, he finds them sleeping. Goes away again, they're sleeping again. But what happened when Judas arrives with lanterns, torches, weapons, and soldiers? They ain't sleeping no more. The wonderful good thing is that God has woken us up through all the troubles of this year so that you guys are not sleeping at all. I don't have to get up here and say, how can I wake them up this week? You guys are well awake. You are alert. You are eager to hear the word of God. And that's a great thing, because God is keeping you awake by the trouble so that when he comes, you be found awake and you enter into his kingdom gloriously. Great? 2020 was absolutely awesome. How about this one? We've got a barbell. This year was filled with a lot of trouble, of course, but it has only served to make the saints shine the brighter and stronger for it. I mean, I can feel the pressure right now as I lift this up, not that hard, but on my arms. What does that do for my muscles? Pretty soon I'm going to look like Superman up here, because the extra trouble is causing greatness to come up. That's what God's done for us this year. Amazingly for Christians. Amazingly, you are brighter, stronger, more courageous, sharper, more generous than you've ever been before. I mean, you've always been generous, but for every year I've been here for 15 years, we've always, pretty much always had a deficit. $20,000, $30,000 behind each year. This year, fewer people break even. Amazing. Good job. Isn't that fantastic? The fewer men, the greater share of honor, says Henry V. And you guys are doing amazingly. Our food bank is now chock full, overflowing. Hardly have place for all the stuff. The welfare fund is highest it's ever been because trouble is bringing out generosity and the greatness of the saints like prosperity just can't plain do. Think about this one too. Your love for each other and fellowship. You know, we've always loved coming to church. That's great. But, you know, sometimes hard to get up and go to church. Sometimes it's easy to skip it for a while. But this year, it was taken away from us. And now, you guys are zealous to have face-to-face, in the flesh, preaching and fellowship. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Great year, 2020. Better than any year before. How about your love of the Word of God? I mean, a thirst that has developed. I used to have to be like, how can I bring this word so that they're interested and grab onto it and stuff? Now I'm like, not necessary. This is easy. Just give them the word. They are ready to soak it in. You are like the Berean Christians from Acts that were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica, for you're receiving the word with much eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Have you seen how Christians have gotten more courageous this year? Like, finally we're getting some backbone and spine. In previous years, we're all hush-hush. Now we're starting to stand up, even patriots in America, just standing up for liberties, standing up for truth and justice and Christ. The wicked flees when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I think about how God's made me greater this year, stronger, because, as you know, I've always had to wrestle with some negative thoughts at times or anxieties. God gave me 40 days off this summer, thanks to you guys. And in that time, God has given me techniques, understandings, that I never get depressed. I never get troubled that much anymore. If I have negative thoughts, I know how to get rid of them like that. Oh, I'm having a negative thought. Well, is this a helpful way to go? No. What would be a better way? Ask yourself a faith-filled question. Like what, Greg? How about this? Why is God so great? Why do you love him so much? What's great about him? And I start going off in that pattern, I'm off into the positive. Or, why was 2020 a great year? Good question to ask, right? So God has done amazing things to make me such that I'm better, really, than any year I've ever been in my life. Because of the trouble, I'm all the much more brighter in him. 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says, we don't want you to be ignorant of the affliction we experienced in Asia. We were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself, says Paul. But that all was with the purpose to make us rely upon God who raised us from the dead. He delivered us from so deadly a peril, and he's going to deliver us again. On him we've set our hope that he'll deliver us again. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel sharper, more alert, more powerful, more courageous this year through the trouble? Relying on God and knowing that as he's delivered you, he's going to do it again next year and even better. Another thing God's done for us fantastically this year is just plain this. He's kept us in the true gospel. The one thing we need until the end of time is to hold fast the truth of the gospel by which we're saved. You know that Christ died for sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, you are saved as a free gift in him. And you've held that fast. I tell you from God, and I declare to you that he who began this good work in you is keeping you in it. And he will complete that work at the day of Jesus Christ, you being found in him unto eternal life. Amen. Amen. Great year? Great year. And one more. Since I'm a sailor, we've got to use a spyglass up here. Look at this one. Christ, we can see his kingdom now appearing on the horizon, unlike how we've ever seen it before. Because previously we were like, yeah, Christ is coming sometime soon. One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years of one day. In the next 1,000 years or so, we ought to see him. But now, it's like, yep, God is, yeah, I fixed that. God is clearing the mist. He's burning the fog off the sea. I'm seeing coming up over the horizon a bright, shining city called the City of God. I see the country now laid up before me in the horizon, and I see the return of the King coming quickly. That is a fantastic thing to know and be ready for His coming, because He is coming soon. And what are we waiting for excitedly that's going to appear very quickly to us? Daniel 7 says, the time will come soon for the saints to receive the kingdom. All the promises of God, your full inheritance, is about to be delivered to you. Isaiah 25 says that God will wipe away and swallow up death. He'll take away the reproach of His people, and He'll wipe every tear from your eyes. Revelation 21 says, God Himself will now dwell with His people, they with Him, in the kingdom to come, and that unto forever, you seated on the throne with Him, ruling in a kingdom of light and freedom and peace, where there's no more trouble, no more sickness, no more virus, no more dangers, but only perfection and joy everlasting. This is what God has prepared for you and is doing marvelous for you to prepare you in 2020. A great year? A great year. So, maybe you could say hindsight is 2020. Flying up like an eagle with the eyes of faith, it's been a great year, and I know that as God has been faithful this year, next year is going to be even better. If it's a good year, give thanks. If it's a troublesome year, you're going to look more like Christ and like the angels of God by the end of it. For the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And therefore we won't fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, because God is in the midst of His people. He helps us right early. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Why Was 2020 a Great Year? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. We're covering the book of Revelation. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.